Hello. We are like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, moving on. Hi, everyone. Welcome
Hello.
back. What a professional start to this episode
I'm
that we have.
Chloe.
And I'm not Portia.
No, I'm Portia.
And I'm Chloe. And this is the No Contact Club.
Cue theme song that we don't have.
What would our theme song be like?
Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson.
No, that's a terrible song.
Oh, I like that song.
Well, I used to.
It's a. Why are you looking at my fringe?
Oh, because you have a little scratch on your forehead.
It's
It
a
just
pimple. Don't
oh,
judge
it
me.
just caught my eye.
Anyway,
Anyway,
we have a new microphone, everybody.
yeah, so it's gonna sound different this week. We don't know if it will be good different or bad
I
different.
feel like that's like the annoying thing with recording is that you don't know until you listen to it what
I
the audio is going to
know.
be like, and then like halfway through you're like, this is terrible, but I can't go back and record like.
Exactly. Like, so we've been like doing little test runs and then adjusting levels and stuff and listening to it, but like the test runs aren't like, hey, welcome, blah blah blah. It's like,
It's
fuck
like,
you. Like, just us being absolute idiots. So
yeah. And Chloe going, this is the No Contact Club podcast. I actually hate Portia. And I'm like, okay.
that's our secret, our deep dark secret.
Yeah. It's all,
Yeah.
I'm going to release a tell-all.
When we get really popular.
Yeah. Really popular, all thousands of thousands and thousands and thousands of followers.
Yeah.
And I'm going to release my tell-all that describes the appalling conditions that we have to work in underneath blankets.
Yeah.
No, no
It's
more.
actually not that bad.
Yeah.
But we did want to say as well, if it is really bad, we do apologize. Like,
Yeah. We're just
we're just
learning.
still learning, and maybe one day we will get like, we'll just proper podcast mics or something, or maybe we'll just buy a booth, like an audio booth with like soundproofing
Make
and
our
stuff.
own. We can make our own.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Out of mattresses and dreams.
oh my God. But we are really grateful for this. So thank you, Dad, for that.
Yeah, thank you
It's
so much.
awesome.
What have you been up to?
Headaches. Having headaches.
Yeah, that's why we
Didn't upload
didn't upload and we're
last
uploading a little
week.
bit late.
Yeah, basically, I've just had a level like 10 headache migraine almost every day. When I
But
don't.
it's not been just every day like for the past couple of days.
Oh, yeah, it's
It's
been
like
ages.
every day for the past like few months.
Yeah, and so I finally. Portia and Ellen made me go to urgent care and get seen and stuff, and they think it's my sinuses. So hopefully, at some point,
You're
I'll
gonna have
get.
to have like surgery or something.
Yeah, and clean it all out, and then. Hopefully
Ew.
I'll be okay. No more headaches because it's really annoying. Like it's debilitating. I have a headache
Yeah.
right now. Like it's and I've
Yeah.
got to stare at the screen for our notes. So
Yeah,
it's
it's
really hard, guys.
No, but it is. It's all relative, like, you know. But
It's
I
crappy.
don't envy you because
I
headaches are
know.
literally so
I
annoying. But have you
know.
tried like not eating Marmite? Or
No.
like you know, an egg
I got
wash.
told horseradish and garlic pills, and I was like, man.
Like you've tried
I've literally
everything.
tried everything. Like, it's not, I just need to get them cleaned out. Like,
Yeah.
that's all.
Just get someone up there with
Yeah.
a blowtorch
Oh my God.
and just stare
Torch it all out.
away
Yeah.
all of your sinuses.
Anyway, enough talking about gross stuff. What have you been up to?
I have been, you know, partying. Doing the usual. Nah, I actually started watching, again, this is all my life consists of, is playing The Sims,
Nice.
watching shitty Netflix TV shows,
Nice.
writing for this,
Nice.
and playing with my cat.
The best.
Yeah. So the Netflix show that I've been watching is The Haunting of, what is it? The
Bly Manor or
Haunting
something?
of Bly Manor.
Yeah.
So it's the same people who made the TV show,
Haunting of Hill House or
Yeah, Haunting
whatever.
of Hill House, but it's very like not very scary.
Yeah.
Like I mean, I don't get scared very easily, but I found like the Haunting of Hill House scarier than.
I think because my boss watches it, and I think he said, or maybe not, but I know he really found the first one like scary and really enjoyed
Yeah.
it. So,
I think it's like, but there's also this thing with scary movies and scary TV shows where it's like it's scary up until you actually see the monster in all its glory. Like, I'm scared of the shadows and of the creepiness of it and the
and not
anticipation.
knowing what's going on.
Yeah, but then as soon as I see, like, the nun coming out of the wall, I'm like, oh,
okay.
It's like, it's obviously that's what not she real, looks like. So that's kind of boring now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I find it really hard to be scared with movies and all that stuff. The scariest
movie I've ever seen was The Strangers.
Yeah, that's such a good movie.
And it's because it could happen, like a home invasion.
Yeah.
I'm not also, as scared with like zombies and stuff.
There's also, have you ever watched Hush?
No. So, oh, but this is the one you've told me about, right?
Yeah, the one with like the deaf woman. She lives alone in the woods and she's a bit of a recluse and she's a writer and stuff. And she,
someone tries to attack her.
Yeah, some guy comes and tries to attack her and she has to like work with her, you know, how she can with being deaf, not being able to hear and all that. It's really, really, really good. Yeah, I need to watch
that. It's on
like,
my list.
It's like edge of your seat kind of
good. Yeah, yeah. I really want to watch that at some point.
Mm.
Anyway.
Shall we get started?
Yes, let's.
Okay.
Hey, while we are knowledgeable about this stuff because of our collective experiences, we aren't professionals. We research what we talk about and our references are in the show notes, but please don't take anything we say as gospel. If you feel like you need support, you can reach out to us at thenocontactclub@gmail.com or see the links in the show notes. Thanks.
This week we are going to touch on triggers.
Yes.
But first, to start this episode off, we've decided to read out a few messages and emails that we've received over the past few weeks, continuing our Craggany Crant series. God. So, do you want to give us the context around?
No, we're Craggany not going.
Okay, let's move on.
But there's been some really interesting questions asked and some really inspiring words that people have shared with us. And I think it's super important to share with you guys as well.
Yeah, I feel like it's really important to share others' stories that have been shared with us because it really like touches on the diversity of our listeners and the diversity of their like upbringings as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we're quite open with our story, but sometimes I feel like sharing other stories will allow people to see things from different perspectives.
Yeah, yeah, because I mean trauma and abuse and all that stuff doesn't look one particular way. You know, our story is different to somebody else who may have experienced sexual assault or, you know, physical abuse from their parents. So sharing stories of people who have experienced different things almost gives us this opportunity to see ourselves and for you guys to see yourselves in those stories.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So to start off, we have a message that we received on Instagram. And if you want to check us out, we are at the No Contact. Do you say at when you're saying like Instagram handles? So. Like at the No Contact Club?
Yeah.
Anyway, find us on Instagram at the No Contact Club. we've received permission from this girl to share her story and to share her name. Just as a reference, guys, if you are going to send us messages, just chuck in there saying like, don't share my name or you know,
yeah,
whatever. So the message reads, "Hi, Chloe and Portia. My name is Claudia and I'm from Australia. G'day." Didn't say g'day. I just said g'day.
We just said that.
Thank you so much for having such a fantastic podcast. I believe in things happening for a reason. It's funny. I was having problems with my mother and I got to a crossroads I always get to with her and was trying to decide to go no contact. And I did because your podcast was suggested on Spotify. And now I'm starting my journey with the help of your podcast. My family dynamic is very unusual because for the last few years living out of home, I have been going through the process of going no contact with my father. Not my choice. He discarded me and is a narcissist and was terribly mentally and physically abusive to myself and my two younger brothers. And now I've discovered that my mother is too. I got the parent jackpot." Sounds like it. "The problems I'm finding now are so powerful to try and override because of how detailed and in-depth the manipulation was. My parents would and still do feed off each other and feed off myself, mainly being the scapegoat. Thank you for helping me become awake to my mother's abuse and start my journey of double no contact. I do have one question. How do you manage a relationship with a younger sibling who is still living at home? My brothers are 16 and 12. Thank you. Love and light to you both. Claudia." She also actually added a second little message after, which I think is worth mentioning as well, since we're going to talk about like the sibling thing.
Mm-hmm.
"I've found since going no contact with both my parents, it's hard to keep in contact with my brothers since they're so young and also stop them, my parents, from pulling my brothers away from me. It's hard, but it's the best decision I've ever made. and I feel free to do and think and be the way I feel inside. It's an amazing feeling and kind of like I've been born again. Thank you so much for your amazing, kind and beautiful words and your amazing work. It really inspired and changed my life for the better.
So thank you. That's so such a lovely message. And I know we say this all the time, but like even just to know that we've reached one person in some kind of way, it just makes us all the more determined to keep going and keep working towards our own healing and
keep going with the podcast. And
just being open about it.
Yeah.
So thank you for reaching out to us.
Yeah. And honestly, like hearing that we've had some part in someone's healing journey just gives me like this little like
flourish
joy. But I also want to say, like, because when I was reading this, I was like, oh, awesome. Like we've had some part in her healing journey. But I don't want that to take away from the work that Claudia is doing and everybody else is doing themselves. For those who like those listening who feel like we've had some part in their, you know, your journey of healing, you know, please remember that even if you feel like outside sources like us or your therapist or your friends or even, you know,
a book
or whatever,
even
if you feel like those outside sources are the source outside sources, how many
let's
count how many times I can say source. Even if you feel like those, you know, outside sources are the kind of starting point of your healing journey, please remember that it truly is down to you, that you're doing the hard work yourself. Like, of course there can be outside influences that can help you along the way, but realistically, you know, your internal world can only be changed by the work that you do yourself. And I want to make sure you guys,
every one of you,
give yourself the credit you truly deserve.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think in regards to Claudia's message, it really sounds like the groundwork was in place for her to make those steps and go no contact.
Yeah.
And honestly, anybody who makes that step should be so proud of themselves.
Yeah.
And the strength that it takes to go no contact with not just one parent, but two, like, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when we talk about how difficult it is to override that manipulation because of how in-depth and detailed it was, like, I feel that on such a deep level. We've talked about this previously, like, how you're trying to undo this, like, literal brainwashing from childhood and that moment of realizing that you have this work to do and it kind of clicking in your head that you have been indoctrinated or brainwashed. You know, that can be fucking terrifying.
Yeah, it's such a mindfuck because you're sort of going through life thinking like, yep, everything's fine, maybe I had a hard childhood but I'm all good, like don't worry about it. And then it's like, oh, hang on, here's all this shit I need to address. But anyway, back to her
what was her question again
about siblings.
Yeah,
she said, how do you manage a relationship with a younger sibling who is still living at home? My brothers are 16 and 12. She also added, I have found since going no contact with both my parents, it's hard to keep in contact with my brothers since they are so young, and also to stop my parents from pulling my brothers away from me.
Ugh.
Yeah, this is really close to home for us. I mean, I think this is a common problem for people who have gone no contact with parents, but you don't really see it talked about as much as other aspects of going no contact, you know, or at least I don't think I've seen it talked about too much.
Yeah, I think it would, I think it would be more common than what is represented in media and all that stuff. Like, of course, siblings will come into it if you've gone no contact with a parent, especially when the parent is narcissistic.
Exactly. I mean, for us, we have spoke about it before that we have two siblings who are still in contact with our mom. And with one of them, we've essentially had to go no contact with her just by default.
Yeah.
And then the other, the relationship is difficult to maintain.
Yeah. It's such a, like, cutting off a parent, it's such a polarizing thing. And I guess in Claudia's case, it's two parents.
Yeah, like, I can't imagine.
So it's inevitable those who are still in contact with that person will have opinions on it, which of course they're entitled
to. Yeah,
yeah. But sometimes you can see that those opinions are kind of formed due to the, I guess, isolating effect that the narcissist has on the person. So it's like, it's that brainwashing that we were kind of talking about.
Yeah. I mean, siblings who are still in contact with the narcissist, especially those who are younger or maybe living at home, they're constantly pulled into that web of the narcissist, and it makes them impossible to see anything outside of that narrative.
Yeah. Like, honestly, I don't, like, being like 2.5 years into being no contact, I don't find it all that difficult on a general way. Like, I'll have days where I question myself or still feel guilty or like,
yeah,
I still engage in like gaslighting myself and all that stuff. But
mm.
when it comes down to it, I'm generally usually quite solid in my decision to be no contact with mum. But when it comes to our siblings who we've essentially had to cut off, like we had to be cut off from them by extension, like I do really feel sad about that.
I'm in the same boat. It's actually, I forgot to mention it to you, but my boss brought that up at dinner the other night. He's like, you know, you think of it as just going no contact with one person, but really it's
all these people who are connected.
Yeah. And it's really hard sometimes and really sad that this is the position that we are all collectively in.
Yeah.
But honestly, for us, I think it comes down to taking the time to work through it and not expecting everything to be okay straight away with our siblings, you know, and they're on their own journeys anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, think about the work you've had to do to undo all of your brainwashing that you've experienced since birth. You know, that work would have already been, you know, in the process of starting before you even made the commitment of going no contact. So I think it can be hard to accept, but I think we just have to come to terms with the fact that your siblings aren't there yet.
Yeah. Like,
they may never get there.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, a fact of life.
And it's hard, but, you know, with our sibling who we're still kind of in contact with, we've had to really try hard to ensure that there are boundaries on both sides. Like, boundaries for us in the sense of making sure she's not passing on information to our mum or telling mum anything we don't want her to know. And then boundaries for her where we accept her choice of still being in contact, and living with mum, you know, and making sure we're not trying to change her decision or her choice either.
Yeah. I was actually talking to my therapist about this literally a few hours ago, and I haven't got any notes on this because I literally had just had a conversation with him about it, but he brought up some really good points where, you know, for us it can be really hard when your eyes are open to all of this and you can see like so clearly what's going on, and it's like you want to open their eyes too, you want to protect them when you see gaslighting or manipulation happening, but you know, when it comes down to it, trying to save them or trying to push your views on them is only going to push them further away.
Exactly.
So like what my therapist was talking to me about today is like, you just have to make sure that he basically was calling me out saying that my stance on it was like doing what mum would do in the sense of if you're trying to push your agenda on them. I mean, this is what I gathered from the conversation. If you're trying to push your agenda on them, you know, what was the main leading cause in our, I can't think what I'm trying to say. This is why you don't go into things without notes, Portia. No, what was like the leading cause of us deciding to go no contact? What was the main, you know, bad thing that mum did in a general term? Like, she wasn't providing for our needs, right?
Yeah.
And she's obviously not going to be doing that for our sister.
Yeah.
So it's like, we have to make sure that we're not pushing our agenda on her. And just showing her that we're here whenever she needs us.
Yeah.
We're giving her love and we're giving her support and you know, unconditional support.
Yeah, yeah.
For her to know that whenever she feels like she's ready to come to...
That we're here.
Yeah, that we're here. Whatever feels, you know. Because especially, like, you remember what it was like living with mum.
Yeah.
It's not easy. So it's like to know that there's a safe place.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really good point.
I think is really important. And I think
that's
quite like the opposite of what I had been doing in regards to our siblings.
Yeah.
Where it was almost like that judgment of like, you're still in contact and you know that all of this stuff has happened.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Why? Yeah, actually, I can see that from me as well.
But it's like, actually, we have to just accept that that's where they're at and love them anyway if we want to salvage that relationship and keep that relationship strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that was a bit of a ramble.
No, it's good. I think it's also important, especially after you've just gone no contact, to stress to your siblings who might be in contact still that it's okay to have opposing views on what you've decided to do. You know, it's okay that they think differently about your mother or father.
Yeah.
And you've really got to solidify in yourself and in your siblings that your relationship with them can exist on its own outside of your relationship with your narcissistic parent. You know, you can disagree on things, but still come out on the other side with a healthy relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And when you're still in contact and, you know, still wrapped up in that narcissist world and way of thinking, I think it can be really hard to understand that arguments or disagreements don't have to mean the end of the world or the end of that relationship as a whole. So like teaching this to your siblings and even coming to understand that yourself can be, you know, a really long and difficult process.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we all know that healthy communication when you're involved with a narcissist is basically non-existent.
Yeah.
So allowing yourself and your siblings that space to understand that you want to start having that communication and figuring out how to argue with them or disagree with them in a healthy way can take time.
Yeah. I think my advice for you, Claudia, would be just to really take it slow and really try to get across to them that you want to and can have a healthy relationship with them outside of your parents.
Yeah, I know. I think one of them was quite young, hey?
I think 12?
12, yeah. Yeah. And I think with that younger sibling, it can be a little bit harder because they may not understand entirely your reasons for going no contact, and they'll be a lot more easily influenced by a narcissist at that age too. So just taking the time to explain to him what is going on in an easy way will make all the difference.
Yeah, and honestly, from my own, and I think your experience as well, Chloe, it really is hard work to manage relationships with siblings when they're still in contact and you're not.
Like, yeah.
I really wish it were different and we're able to give you, you know, an overnight solution.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like anything with a narcissist, when a narcissist is involved, you have to work hard.
Exactly.
And you have to work hard at managing that relationship, and you have to continue doing the work of healing so you can ensure you're in the best place possible to, you know, grow and heal and thrive.
Exactly. It's frustrating, but there's not much else you can do.
Yeah.
It just takes time.
So our next message was an email we received from someone who we will call G.
Yeah, this was really important because it shows the perspective of someone experiencing this through a father's eyes. The subject line was "the fuckery stops here," which we both had a giggle at a line from a previous episode. But so it reads, excuse me. "Hi, Chloe and Portia. I have to say, I love that line. Well done. There's a lot I'd like to say about your program, but for now, let me say that I'm up to episode 15. I found you by accident, not what I was looking for, and have binge listened ever since. I weep at least once during each episode, a mixture of grief, powerlessness, but ultimately hope. To hear you guys sharing, laughing, healing, and speaking the truth, well, there go my tears again. I have two gorgeous teenager girls with whom I once had the warmest and just so open relationship as you could imagine. I'm moving through a divorce and they will not speak with me, and I don't even know where they have moved. I want to download your series for them, treasure it, keep it safe for the day that they begin their healing. Thank you for what you have produced. You may never fully know its value. You need to trust me on that, because as well as being a grieving father, I am also the child of a BPD mother. Sorry, also a child of a BPD mother, which is
borderline personality disorder.
Thank you. Sorry. And a counseling psychologist, the irony. Humor, kindness, and compassion allows us to keep our essence intact whilst we survive the fuckery. Keep it classy, and I'll strive to do the same.
I want to clarify here, because I got a little bit confused on this line with him saying, you need to trust me on that, because as well as being a grieving father, I am also a child of a BPD mother and a counseling psychologist. I think he's the counseling psychologist.
Yeah, I got that too.
Oh, okay. Maybe I was just being a dumbass.
No. So first of all, like, thank you for your email. Like,
we love
hearing from people, especially someone who's dealt with borderline personality disorder too.
As well as, like,
narcissism. And, it just shows us the different kind of faces of people who can be affected by this.
Yeah. And, you know, coming from someone like me who also suffers from BPD, you know, after my diagnosis, I've done a lot of research into the subject and, you know, have taken that research and looked back on experiences that I've had in my life. And I know how difficult it must be to live with someone who has BPD that's kind of like unchecked.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not an easy person to be around, but hopefully I'm becoming more self-aware and reflective so that I can kind of change my path and try not to allow BPD to affect those close to me. I can only imagine what it was like to have a mother who was affected by BPD. But, you know, there was this period, I'm getting somewhere with this. There was this period after my diagnosis where I thought it was over for me. Like, I thought it was a personality disorder, so I stood no chance at, you know, growing through it. But I think I'm coming to, you know, believe now that although personality disorders are really complex and difficult to manage and overcome, they aren't like death sentences, for lack of a better word. Like, I think it's the same for narcissism as a whole. Like, it can be difficult and possibly even rare for someone with NPD to get better and work through it simply because of the nature of the disorder itself. But that's not saying that someone can't work through it and make their life and those close to them better off.
Yeah, like, I feel like that's where this path of healing comes in. Like, you have to at some point look inward and decide whether or not you're going to let your mental illness or your trauma rule the rest of your life, you know? Yeah. It's like you can either let your unhealed trauma lead the way you interact with the world and those around you, or you can decide to start to do the work and not allow your shit to then be passed on to those you care about.
Yeah, it's that generational trauma thing we were talking about. Like, you're letting it go unchecked and that unhealed trauma and
it just keeps going.
You know, it just keeps going on.
Yeah. And I'm so sorry to you that you can't see your daughters. And that kind of hits hard for us again because of our history with our dad and the parental alienation we went through alongside him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know it may seem not seem like much, like coming from two random women in New Zealand, but I think that I can speak for both of us when I say we both want you to, you know, keep strong and
yeah, all that cliched stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff,
never let go actually of hope and
makes sense
and all that stuff, because it's a very generic thing to say, like, keep strong,
but it's true,
but just keep doing the work and
I mean, it might take time. Like, for us it was years before we reconnected with our dad, and a lot of the time it did seem hopeless, and I know for our dad it did too, but you know, we can only hope that one day your daughters will have a change of heart like we did and start to see the truth in things. So
absolutely. I think it's time we touch on our subject for the
I know today. I feel like this has been such a long episode already. Yeah, we're not even into it yet.
We've only got a little bit to go for triggers. We don't have too much, because I feel like people kind of already know the
so we're touching on triggers today. Basically, a trigger is a response to something that triggers a recall of a traumatic experience. Yeah. So a real basic example, if someone was in a car accident, they might find it hard to be in or drive a car because it would trigger memories of the event. So it can be, it does get more complex than that. So sometimes triggers can be obvious, like the car, but sometimes they're really subtle and not easy to spot.
Yeah. And literally, like, I'm sure we've heard online and freaking teenage boys being like, oh, you're triggered.
Oh my God. I used to say that all the time until I told him to stop using it.
Really?
Yeah. Like, he didn't know the meaning behind it or anything, but it just annoyed me because he would just say it like if he lost a Fortnite game or
this. He's like, I'm so triggered.
Yeah. Yeah. This isn't the kid I look after, just FYI.
I was about to say, he's a sweet baby angel.
You're
really calling him out on the
podcast. God, no. No. It was one of his friends his friend is lovely. Like, he's a good kid, but obviously it's the cool thing to say. So he was saying it. But yeah, so he was old enough and I kind of explained in brief terms what it meant, but it annoys me, I think, when people use that, like, especially with the whole, like, snowflake thing, like, oh yeah, you're triggered, snowflake. It's like, no, but like, that's a legitimate thing.
Yeah, because I mean, you think about it in terms of like a sexual assault victim.
Yes,
when you say, oh, trigger warning, I'm talking about sexual assault.
Exactly.
That can save someone from having a complete breakdown.
Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, I think triggers, they're often associated with PTSD, and I think you see that a lot in the media, like having triggers, like, I don't know, a loud bang and then suddenly they're, you know, taken back to
when they were at war or something.
Like, a, you know, here's a car backfire and thinks it's gunfire or whatever. But quite often survivors of narcissistic abuse can suffer from something called complex PTSD. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah. So CPTSD is something that we really want to do a full episode on, but I think we need to understand it more ourselves. But basically, it's related to long-term trauma, whereas PTSD is like you were,
like a sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
Sudden traumatic
like event. A car accident whereas this is like long-term, over years abuse. Or months. Diagnosing it is really, really hard, but it's a real disorder that affects so many people who have suffered from narcissistic abuse.
And it's quite I think it's becoming more common in being diagnosed
definitely,
because it's not a very commonly diagnosed thing, but I think it's there are more people to come, coming to the front. Being like, yeah, this is a thing. Like, you know, but you know, triggers can be anything. They can be a smell, a place, a time of day. Like, I'm trying to think what some of mine are. I was literally driving down a road the other day, and because it reminded me of like bad times.
Yeah, yeah.
I was triggered and was feeling like really anxious also, and sick.
Driving near where the Coromandel.
Like driving in a particular area in New Zealand, I can't go there anymore.
Yeah,
because it like that's more of a emotional trigger, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas certain things like certain sounds, or like I can't smell Britney Spears perfume. I can't smell Britney Spears.
Yeah, Mum
used to wear that, and it just makes me feel like sick. And there's also two Britney Spears perfumes that I can't smell. One because it reminds me of Mum, and the other one because it reminds me of Mum, but also reminds me of being really heavily depressed back in high school. So it's like I smell that and I'm immediately taken back to like
so much.
Yeah, to so much bullshit.
Oh God. I think we probably have a lot of the same triggers too.
Yeah.
Like especially when it comes to like alcohol and stuff. Like
yeah, absolutely.
A wine glass being set down on a bench like that.
Yes.
I remember you mentioning that. And yes. I mean alcohol in general, but especially wine and bourbon.
Like the smell?
Yeah, yeah. And like specific brands like cask wine, because she would always get cask wine. The sound of it being put on the bench. And
even just opened, the sound like, of like the
bag, liquid.
The grocery bags being put down on the bench
and hearing that clunk, knowing there was a glass bottle in there. So fucked up, like, man. But even like cars that she's driven, like she used to drive this bright blue thing, and like anytime I see a car like that,
even though I know that she doesn't drive exactly anymore, I'm like
I know. Funnily enough, the family I work for trigger me sometimes because they're just so wonderful, and the parents are like, they're just creating such a great childhood for these kids, and so all it does is make me think about my lack of a wonderful upbringing.
Come on, guys.
Just be shitty parents. Just for God's sake,
parents for once. I think like some triggers, you know, for people, they haven't even revealed themselves yet, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I remember you saying to me that you just realized the sound of the wine glass being set down was triggering to you, and you'd only just discovered that.
Yeah, it's like a while ago. It's like these things where you're like, you know, not realize that it is, and you're suddenly like, why do I feel this way?
Yeah, yeah. Like they can catch you off guard like that before you realize it. And, you know, you're feeling that same emotion that you felt back when the trauma was happening. Yeah.
And I think that's where the PTSD comes in.
Definitely.
Again, we don't know enough to have a solid, you know, opinion this, but I know with CPTSD, the difference between PTSD and CPTSD is the flashbacks can be, they're different kinds of flashbacks. So, you know, with CPTSD, it's more of an emotional flashback.
Yeah, yeah.
So you flashback to the emotions that you were feeling
know,
at that time.
Exactly. Something my therapist always says to me is when I am triggered and upset that my body is reacting to something that's not in the room anymore.
Oh, I've never thought about it that way. Like that's kind of a good way to look at it. Like you can acknowledge that, you know, you're safe and the thing that made you feel that way isn't there anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard when you're upset and panicking.
Well,
but
I mean, panic attacks by nature are like illogical.
Exactly. But it is a nice way to look at it.
So I'm dealing with triggers. Again, we're just lightly touching on them on this episode, but we could go into way more detail. But a good place to start is identifying what you can. Like we mentioned, some are hard to spot, but for those that are easy to spot, you know, notice them. Notice what your body feels like and what emotions you're feeling. And sometimes writing it down also helps.
Yeah, yeah. Often I'll get fresh air if I can. Like if I'm driving, I'll wind down the window.
Yeah.
So I guess that kind of comes back to mindfulness, like being present and just being aware of the surroundings, surroundings.
I'm, to be honest, like I'm really bad with when I'm triggered, so to speak. I'm really bad with like using healthy coping mechanisms, because I just honestly like go into myself and I'm like,
I do a lot of analyzing. Like I'm like, why do I feel that way? And my therapist is like, you're analyzing because you're distracting. You're not feeling it. You're just distracting yourself from the feeling. I'm like, no,
no, you don't know anything.
You don't know.
healthy coping strategies for when you are triggered are really important, like I was saying, which I need to listen to my own advice again. And if you see like a therapist or a counselor, they can definitely help you out with this.
Yeah.
Mindfulness was mentioned so much when we were researching this topic. And I think, yeah, I mean, mindfulness comes into everything that we talk about, I think, but it definitely helps with this.
Yeah, and the more strategies you practice and use, the better equipped you'll be to handle it.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I feel like we sound like a broken record, but like, again, having someone that you trust, like maybe you can call or text someone and just say, hey, distract me. I'm feeling X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
You know, what have you been doing today?
Yeah, tell me a story. Sometimes like just telling someone that, oh, I feel sad because this reminded me of this, you know, it just sort of takes the weight away from it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even like, because with anxiety, it's so, what do you call it? Like illogical, like there's no logic to anxiety.
Like, yeah. Like general, rationally, you know, I'm safe.
Irrational.
Yeah.
What I was looking for.
Yeah.
Like it's, there's nothing rational to anxiety. And one thing that I find, that is kind of helpful is like voicing that, you know, those irrational thoughts to someone else and having them kind of validate you and go, no, you're safe here. Like, it's just anxiety.
I think I've mentioned this before as well. My therapist always says you should frame it like the story I'm telling myself is blah, 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 you know? I mean, there isn't heaps to say on triggers, I guess. It's just kind of the basics, like, just like touching on them, I guess.
Yeah, just covering it. Because I think it's a very common, I mean, it's been made more common by, you know, the whole snowflake triggered.
Yeah, thing, which is fucking ridiculous. But also just people in general using trigger warnings and stuff, which is awesome.
Yeah, like you on see TikToks it on like, yeah, and, TikTok yeah. And not which so is, much on Facebook.
No, but it's good though. It's good. It'd be interesting to know what other triggers people have in relation to having a narcissistic mother.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to email us or send us a DM on Instagram,
just let us know. It'd be,
we can normalize triggers.
Yeah, exactly. So as we've mentioned multiple times, Instagram is at the No Contact Club, Facebook is the No Contact Club, and our email is
thenocontactclub@gmail.com.
It's pretty easy to remember. So apologies if the audio is really bad.
We literally were just recording and then realized it had stopped recording halfway through.
But that's Anchor, not the microphone. But yeah, that's okay.
Bloody Anchor.
Thank you for letting us upload our podcast. Anyway, I feel like this episode's been a mess, but thank you for listening to us.
Well, it's
been
a bit of a mess because your head's really sore.
Yes. I did actually meant to say that a lady emailed and said that she heard us say, apologize for going off on tangents, but she said she really appreciates it. So,
oh, really?
So suck on that, everybody
I didn't see that email.
Oh, I must have opened it before you saw it.
Are you hiding something from me?
Anyway, bye, guys. So thank you so much for listening and look after yourselves.
Oh, you're looking at me to talk. Fuck. Anyway.
And stay classy.
And stay classy.
Bye, guys.